Bonananian.
Have you been driving your car?
You know, listen, you have to drive your car or your vehicle, your truck, whatever. You got to get out on the road. I want to take a little
ride. The Car Doctor.
A mechanic told me years ago when you're doing an oil change that before you install the new filter, you should fill it with fresh oil.
Are you going to hurt the engine by filling that filter with oil? Absolutely not. It'll just prime a little bit better.
Welcome to the radio home of Ron and Anian, The Car Doctor. Since 1991, this is where car owners the world over turn to for their definitive opinion on automotive repair. If your mechanic's giving you a busy signal, pick up the phone and call in. The garage doors are open.
But I am here to take your calls at 855-560-9900.
And now, here's Ronnie.
I bet we're going to talk about, well, maybe we're going to talk about your engine today. Maybe we're not. But I do want to talk about that. But I'll tell you what, let's kick the garage doors open because the phones were already backed up. I want to talk a little bit this hour about... Are you ready to change your engine? Is that really something you're mentally ready for? I want to talk about that a little bit. And it's going to apply to engine, transmission, hybrid battery, just a little bit about the psychology of getting your vehicle ready for that type of major repair should you need it in the future. And I want to talk a little bit about some of the maintenance that you may need to do as we come out of this pandemic. And, you know, there's the light at the end of the tunnel, we're hoping. It's everybody's cars are going to start rolling again. And you have to figure most parts of the country, most parts of the world, everybody's cars have been sitting 4 to 6 weeks now, right now. And by the time we're done and out of it, geez, I'm hoping it's 8 to 10 weeks. And, you know, just a little bit of a primer, maybe a little bit about basics. I thought about this during the week that maybe it's time to just cover it. But right now, let me kick the garage doors open. Let's go up to Maine and talk to Micah, who wants to talk about all things maintenance on his car. Micah, I thought this was a great way to open the show. So how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm great, sir. What's going on?
Well, I got a 2015 Subaru that, believe it or not, is 5 years old. And so anyway, in May, I'm supposed to have my 6 month service, and hopefully things will be cleared up enough so at least I can get that done today. But it's 5 years old and it's a very low mileage. It's only got 36,000 miles on it. And one of the problems with all these, maintenance agreements that you see or maintenance service records that they tell you, it always goes by mileage, but I'm so low mileage that it doesn't work for me. So at 5 years, what things do I really need to do other than a lube, oil, and filter and, you know, tire rotation and alignment? And I've been keeping it up. I've been working with you on it in terms of you telling me what needs to be done. But what has to happen at 5 years?
You know, Mike, time counts, right? I always say to people, if you sit in a chair and you don't move, you're aging. And, you know, the proof's in the pudding. Not that I wish that you feel bad, but, you know, I don't feel as spry as I did today as I did 5 years ago or 4 years ago or 3 years ago. We all age. Our bodies get a little tired, a little worn out just by time, and so does the car. So it's really, you've got to consider time and or mileage. And your question is right on target. Everybody's cars have been out there sitting for the past, however it is, 4 to 6 weeks on average, I'm going to guess. And, you know, the cars have aged a little bit. It's time to, if we're going to bring them back to life like we hope to bring the economy back to life, we've got to look at tire pressure. We've got to look at fluid levels. We've got to look at some, you know, the lifeblood. We just can't go out there, kick it, start it, and take off down the road. So to be specific, in your car, 5 years, 36,000 miles, did it have a 30?
It did have a 30.
What was done?
You know, I honestly can't remember.
How much was it?
It was expensive, but I did what you told me to do. Whatever you told me to do, I had done.
So chances are at the 30, you had a fuel system cleaning done, you had a tire rotation, you had a brake fluid flush. Some of the driveline fluids, if I recall our conversation, were likely done, right? Sounds right.
I don't think I did the brake fluid flush, and the only fuel cleaning I did was with some Berryman's.
Okay, then I would tell you at this stage, it wouldn't hurt to do a formal, especially on a car if it's been sitting. Here's a good case of a can of Berryman before you start out. It's a great idea, but then also to do a formal fuel system cleaning. Think of Berryman with Hest as that's sort of like your daily vitamin. but you still go down to the doctor once a year, and he still gives you a physical, and he still might give you a shot and a supplement and, you know, put you through your paces. So Berryman is a good preventative, and it's a good, in some cases, it will work as a good diagnostic and help repair a car. But the real cleaning comes from a formal fuel system cleaning. Berryman actually has a version of their fuel system cleaner available as a kit. You can get it at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts, and that will do a formal fuel system cleaning. That works really well. You want to make sure and consider 5 years old. How old's the battery? And I think you put a battery in that
car. Change the battery.
Yeah, I thought you did. I thought we talked about that a year ago. You know, but always it would be 5 years. How's the battery? Believe it or not, and you have a CVT trans in that car, I think, Micah?
Yes, I do.
Yes, I'm happy with the CVT fluid. Obviously, I would check the fluid level until around the 50, 60,000 mile mark. Time doesn't bother me so much on that. But I would check front and rear differentials, the axle fluids. In the case of the front, it's probably not so much axle fluid is maybe transfer case, but likely that's both. They're both going to be just standard 80, 90 weight gear oil. Gear oil gets attacked by moisture and it breaks down. And it's just a good idea. It's cheap enough to do. It's a good idea for good maintenance. One thing I tell everybody, and I caution my Subaru owners, I think Subaru is a great car, and I think the first 100,000 miles is a great time. It's sometimes I don't want to say lack of maintenance, but not. Just common sense maintenance that, you know, when that car gets to the 100, 120, 130, 140, funny things start happening. They develop leaks. They develop, you know, wear and tear and more than they need to. So I think you start thinking about some of the fluids that you don't normally do till 70 or 80. You do them a little early. I think the car lasts longer. I really do. I just can't stress enough just normal maintenance. Now, in your case, Mike.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, let me ask you this, because you said, you know, 100 and 120, it starts to have trouble. I'm running on years, not mileage.
Right.
So I'm at 5 years and 36,000 as opposed to 60. Where should I be looking at those things?
Well, in terms of doing trans fluid?
Well, trans fluid, you said,
trans fluid,
you said at 100. But
yeah, trans fluid, I'm good at 60. At 60, I would do, let me be clear, at 60, I would check, and obviously check trans fluid level now, but at 60, I would check trans fluid level. Is it clean? Is it pink? Does it have good color? Does it have good consistency? All right. And if it has all that at 60, Subaru says the fluid level is fine. And I happen to agree with Subaru on that. All right. I would watch it from there on.
Is it 60 based on the miles or am I talking about 10 years?
60 based on the miles. But now if you're... Go ahead.
Because the years don't matter in that case. It's only based on wear, not on years.
Well, yeah, but again, if you're looking at the fluid levels once a year and fluid conditions once a year, if for conversation's sake it takes you 3 years to go another 10,000 miles, and in 3 years at 46,000 miles, you look at the trans fluid and you go, yeah, it's starting to turn. It doesn't feel as good as it once did. It doesn't have that body to it. Fine, I'll change it early. That's okay. But, you know, it comes down to condition, time, and then mileage. You've got to sort of factor those things in because you're a time factor. Does that make sense?
Gotcha.
All right.
Absolutely.
But now,
and, you know, they used to have, you know, mileage charts where they would say do it at this amount of miles or this amount of years. And they took the years out now, which really is very annoying.
Well.
So I think what you just told me.
I was going to say.
I think what you just told me is.
Go ahead. You talk.
I think what you just told me is a brake fluid flush for sure, a fuel system cleaning for sure, and a check of the front and rear differential fluid, and if it looks bad, to replace those.
Right, and I would in all likelihood at 5 years. See, now I'm funny that way. At 5 years, I would just put diff fluids in it. I would just change the fluids.
Okay.
All right. I wouldn't even hesitate, and I wouldn't even check the brake fluid. I would change it if that brake fluid's 5 years old. I don't care what it looks like. But most important, the brand and quality of brake fluid, just make sure it's a good quality fluid. We talk about this in the shop from time to time, Danny and I. We always try to source. We make an effort. We always want good quality brake fluid because we've seen, I'm not going to pick on China, but I'm going to pick on China. I've seen some of the cheaper brake fluids try to sneak their way into repair shops. And not all brake fluid is made equally. And, you know, it's if you notice... if you notice, think of it like this. You know, there's all different types of oils out there, right? There's Pennzoil, there's Mobil, there's Castrol. There's all these name brands of oils. There's all these name brands of coolants and antifreezes. You don't see a lot of name brands of brake fluid, at least in our neck of the woods. And, you know, you can choose from good to better to, you know, to best. And where did some of it come from? So just watch what you buy. It seems like every convenience store, chain store, gas station, and diner has a bottle of brake fluid for sale somewhere on the counter. You know, is it good quality stuff?
This will be done at the dealership.
Yeah.
This will be done at the dealership, so they'll be using a Subaru brand,
right. It'll be
whatever
fine.
It is.
It'll be fine. But you get my point.
I suspect it'll be okay.
Yeah, you get my
yep.
point. So.
Yep.
All right, sir.
Okay, so it's three major items is what you're telling me. And
yep.
What do you expect? If I were in New Jersey, what would it cost me there?
Fuel system cleanings typically around $150 to $200. Diff service averages, I'm going to say $150 to $200. So let's call it four. And brake fluid flushes about $120. You're $500-$600 worth of fluids and service.
Okay.
All right.
All right. And then with the lube oil and filter and everything, I'll be at about another $150. So yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
So you're in the game. All right, kiddo.
Thank you so much. Ron, stay safe down there.
You too, brother.
And I'm so glad you're still doing it and that Tom's taking care of you.
Yeah,
so
Tom's
have
taking
a great day.
Tom's taking good care of me. You too, Micah. Be safe. Be well. And everybody else up there in Maine and everywhere else in the sound of my voice. I'm Ron Ananian and the Car Doctor. We are back right after this.
It's the little old lady from Pasadena.
He drives that way, but when it comes to fixing cars, Ron has car advice done right. 855-560-9900. Here's Ron.
Let's get over and talk to Barbie in Missouri, 04 Honda Accord. Barbie, welcome to the Car Doctor. How can I help?
I have a 2004 Honda Accord. It has 106,000 miles. Now, I'm the widow of a U.S. Marine Purple Heart Hall of Honor from Vietnam, whose ancestry comes back to the Mayflower. When we were married, he did all this stuff. He even did the driving. I forced him to wear the pants. I liked him doing that. But now that I'm by myself, I have this car, and like I say, it's 14 years old. These are the things that I still would have to have done,
okay.
Although I'm trying to keep my car up. The one thing is the car, it started about 3 weeks ago. When I got to the stop sign and I was about to turn left, it all of a sudden just like starts shimmying, and then it almost wanted to take off. I had to hold on real tight. It only happened that once, but even now, you could still feel like there's something wrong. Now, somebody said, and we have good mechanics here. I'd like to say that.
Right.
And they've treated me well.
Sure.
But they said it's a motor mount. Okay. All right. That being the case, all right, that's number one. Number two, struts. And I got three different estimates on that because I'll tell you later, I had other things done. The third thing is my GPS. And the fourth thing is my serpentine belt cracking.
Okay. So do you have one mechanic, four mechanics? What do you got going on here, Barbie?
Well, I'll tell you the truth. I go to Honda, like, if I'm going to have certain things, because I like to have them check things, you know?
Right.
And then so I patronize them. But then I have another one that I have that's closer by. So I have two.
Okay. Which one do you trust?
I think that's why I'm calling you.
I don't know. I wanted to hear you say that. I wanted to know if you knew that. Because, you know, let me talk to you in terms of repairing an 04 Honda from New Jersey, all right, in this sense of the word. The only time, I'm just trying to think now, an 04 Accord, I don't think I've put a set of front struts in a Honda Accord in the last 3 years unless the springs were broken. And I'm not saying it's not possible. You know, once in a while, I'm sure I've gotten one that the top's bounced, punched out, or, you know, somebody whacked a pothole or an accident. But as a rule, struts are not that common. Struts are not common on most cars today. We'll see cars go 80 to 100,000 miles on the original struts. Original shocks and struts, and to your point, you've got over 100,000 on it. You know, what are they saying is wrong with it? Are they leaking? Is there physical damage? Or is this, the car's got 106,000 miles on it, it's time to put struts in it? I always try to caution people from the perspective of, does the repair fit the use of the vehicle? You know, are we going to, do we need to go down to the corner store for milk, church around the corner, and then the train station once on weekends to pick up relatives, and the car sees limited use? So, or are we trying to get it ready to go for a marathon cross country? And where's that balance? Where's that middle of the road? If I can say it like that.
All right. Well, that's a good question, because that's the main reason why I called. I basically stay close to home.
Right.
All right. I even like to walk and stuff like that. But being that I'm 72 years old, if I go out on the road, say I go driving or something, is it safe for me to be on the road?
Well, and that's the question to them. And that's a New Jersey repair, as I think of it, because that's what I would look at here. You know, sure. Maybe it does need a serpentine belt. The serpentine belt is easy to see. It's cracking. It's split. You know, it looks worn. It looks beat up. Shocks and struts, if there's no physical damage, if there's no noise, if it doesn't clunk, if it doesn't have bounce going down the road, if the car still rides well, are we changing shocks or struts on a car just because it's 14 years old, just because it's 106,000 miles, just because business is slow and we need to buy lawn furniture next week? You know, what's the reason? Out of everything you said to me, the serp belt I could believe, and then the shimmy that you experienced while you were driving and braking from 40 on down that only happened once. You know, obviously, I would say let's do a front suspension check as far as steering linkage. If that was a bad strut or shock that caused that, it should do it every time. All right. Mechanically, shocks and struts are very mechanical, so to speak. If your arm's broken, your arm's broken. If your arm doesn't hinge, it doesn't hinge. If your wrist is jammed, your wrist is jammed, if that makes sense. So, you know, we've got to be aware of that. What was the other thing? There was something else on your list.
Well, let's go back to the motor mount. So what do you think about the motor mount? Do I need one? Is that what's causing this?
I see no reason, under my experience, why a motor mount would cause a front end shimmy as I'm braking, slowing down. A motor mount's easy to check. Put the car in drive. Put one foot on the brake. Gently try to accelerate with the gas and have somebody, one mechanic does that from inside. The other mechanic watches under the hood. Does the motor flop around and pull itself up against the other mount or the other end of the mount? You know, is the mount physically broken? You know, could a Honda need a mount? Sure. It's not impossible, not at this mileage. But, you know, again, is it really broken? If it's broken, yes, it needs to be replaced. If it's not broken, are we changing it because the rubber's slightly dried out and cracked and rotted because the car is 106,000 miles, 14 years old? Barbie, stay put. Stay right where you are. Let me pull over and take a pause, and when I come back, we'll finish this conversation. You're listening to Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor. We're going to come back right after this, so don't you go away. Barbie, you sit tight. We'll all return. Be right back. Back, Ron and Annie, the Car Doctor. We've got Barbie on the phone from Missouri. Barbie, you're still there, darling?
Yes, and okay. I was going to get back to the serpentine belt.
Sure,
okay?
Sure.
I have a friend, just like we're doing everything over the internet and on the phone right now, and I asked him about that serpentine belt, and he said, okay, take a picture of it. I said, you assume I know how to open the hood, right?
Mm.
You know what I mean? That I could find that.
Sure.
But anyways, I figured that out, and I actually was hesitant because one time I tried to do something by myself and I put, I think it was radiator fluid in my windshield washer or something like
Uh-oh.
That. And I went, that'll be the first and last time I ever do that. I took pictures. I even got down. I didn't want to drop my phone in there, but I showed it to him and it doesn't look cracked or anything.
Okay. So the other way that a belt goes bad, and it depends on the type of rubber the belt is made out of. And I think in 2004, It was made this way, EPDM, which I don't remember the abbreviation, but basically it's a distinctive, different type of rubber than belts used to be 20 years ago, where belts would crack and dry out. The newer rubber lasts longer, but it wears out like the tread of a tire. So it could be that the grooves, and there's a way to tell, there's a little toothed gauge that you would lay against the belt, and you would look to see, is there light against the teeth? Is there light showing through where there wasn't? So maybe the belt's worn out. It may also be that the belt is brown on the back. I see the Honda belts, Hondas and Toyotas, for some reason, mostly they turn brown on the back, like the belt is dried out. And yeah, if that's the original belt at 106,000 miles, 14 years old, if it's 6-7 years old, I have no problem changing it. So,
okay.
You know, the belt is almost reasonable. The one thing I would want to know, and I don't remember off the top of my head, is an 04 Accord, is that a timing belt motor? And I thought, it depends on which motor this is, if this is a V6 or a four-cylinder, but that would be one question. If it's a timing belt, which is a rubber belt, think of a bicycle sprocket, right? Big sprocket, little sprocket, chain in the middle, right? Mm-hmm. Some engines are a timing chain like the bicycle. Some engines are a timing belt. If this car has a timing belt, depending upon the engine, it may be due by time. So that's something that they need to address as well, although I'm sure from the sounds of it, these guys, somebody would have picked it up here. My biggest concern is I've got two cooks in the kitchen, and they're not necessarily arguing with each other, but they're falling all over each other trying to put the yeast in the bread. And I can't stress enough that you really need, you know what, you said it yourself. You wanted, you know, your husband, God bless him, you wanted him to be the, you know, to wear the pants and to do the job. You need one guy to do that. You got to find that one person that's going to have that relationship, that's going to look over after the car like it's his, and do what needs to be done and nothing more. And that's just so important, especially in these times.
Well, I think I'll just stick with the one I have. The insurance company recommended they give their certain ones, and I don't know any better,
right.
I just think I will.
Well,
and one more thing. Go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead.
I was going to say, and, you know, take your power, right? You can read the owner's manual. The owner's manual will show you where fluids go and what fluids are. Obviously, I would encourage you to keep listening to this show because I'm here for you. And, if you know, hopefully I answer some of your questions during the course of each weekend. And you're always free to call us. And, you know, YouTube has got some wonderful information on it. I won't say it's all good. You know, if somebody's a dope, guess what? Dope or not, everybody gets to be on YouTube. So, you know, you have to sort of look and watch and see what they're talking about. You know, someday when I write the book, I'm going to tell the stories about all the things I hear other guys say that make me kind of, you know, the things that go on behind the scenes that you guys don't see. And I you know, it makes me want to, that's another story for another day. But, you know, that's really where you're at. So I think your takeaway here is maybe a belt, you know, why? They need to come up with a reason why struts. Is it a broken spring? Is it a leaking strut? Do they see physical oil? Or is this ride quality? Now, you can test the ride. Go up to the car. You know, if the car has been sitting outside and it's at proper temperature, you know, warmed up temperature of the day, it's not 10 degrees, it's 65, 70 degrees. Go up and push on the fender. Does the car bounce? Does the car make noise? Does the car, you know, and how does the car ride? If the car rides normal, if the car will go over railroad tracks at 20, 25 miles an hour, moderate speed without, you know, bucking like a Bronco, chances are the struts are okay. You know, it's struts are an easy mark today, and I think they're way oversold. I really do. Certain cars, yes. Honda Accords, I tend to see shops recommend them just based on time, and it just, you got to give me a reason. You had a question?
Excellent. What do you think about either, when is it time to go into a new car? I mean, like, when do you make that decision?
Well, and we'll finish. Go ahead.
From what somebody told me, that sometimes these older cars are really good, and you should hang on to them. So
well,
that's
so,
my final question.
Sometimes an older car in the hands of the right mechanic is a real great relationship, all right? He knows the car. He knows the technology. You know, you bring your car to a repair shop, just because you have a new car doesn't mean that repair shop has the new tools to fix that car. they've got to make that business decision the way you make a business decision on whether or not to replace the car. Not everybody's repair shop has the latest, most modern, up-to-date scan tool. Not everybody's got that technology. And it takes time to build dollars in order to afford it to go out and do it. So, you know, the real question here is, you know, what sort of maintenance has been done? All right. You know, has this car had regular fluid service? Has this car had regular maintenance? And then, you know, what possibly condition, what kind of shape is it possibly in now? And this is where it leads me back to the first part of my first question, which guy do you trust? Because if you don't trust either one, it's a moot point. You know, you can go to the doctor and he can tell you you need 7 operations and maybe you need 3. Maybe you need 8 and he missed one. You know, the most important part of repairing a car is the guy working on it. It really is. And, you know, it really comes back to that. Where do you get rid of this car? It depends what Barbie can afford. You know, it's on average, after a car is 3 years old, the average car costs $125 to $150 a month to maintain. That's not every month, every year. It's an average, all right, over a 7 to 8 year period, all right? It's, you know, and I always say it, cars are like marriages. There's good years and there's bad years. There's years you spend $2,000 and there's years you get away for $500. There's years you want to go to Hawaii together and there's years like, leave me alone, I'm not talking to you for the next 3 weeks. All right, we've all been there. That's relationships. That's life. But you've got to balance things out. If you're not putting $125 to $150 a month away because you can't afford to do that in terms of maintenance, then you're likely either not a candidate for a new car, or you're a candidate for a new car with a fixed payment, fixed expense, and every 3 years you got to replace it. You know, it's a dollars and cents decision. Chances are, if this Accord has had any kind of maintenance and normal repair, chances are this is a good car. Look, I could convince you at your age, and I'm not picking on your age, darling. I could convince you at your age to be in a new car because you're out by yourself and you know, it, God forbid the car breaks down and, you know, you need help, you need roadside. Hopefully you've got AAA or some kind of roadside service. But the fact is that new car could get a flat 2 days after you buy it and you're still stuck on the side of the road. A good, well-maintained car in the hands of a proper and an educated mechanic could keep that car going another 7 or 8 years, I'm sure. All right. It all depends
on
the guy.
When I bought it, even though it was in 2013, it was like new. I'm not kidding. It was like it was never out of the garage. I couldn't believe it. And after I've gotten it, I've done all the like flushes and oil changes.
Right.
And
so it sounds like it's
whatever needs to be done, I've done it.
Right. You've got to have a mechanic that you can walk in, and I'll leave it here. You can have a mechanic that you got to have a mechanic that you can walk in and say, listen, Fred, I want you to work on this car like it was your mom's, and I want you to take care of it like it was your mom's, and I'm expecting you and I'm trusting you to tell me when it's time to get rid of it, and then I'll go buy another used car, and this is key, I'll go buy another used car and bring it in and let you work on that, but I don't want to spend money unnecessarily. See how they react to that. And when they hear that they're not losing you as a customer, they're just going to continue on the next thing, that generally perks everybody's ears up. All right, but you gotta have a little psychology to this, and let me know, you know, see how that works for you. And can I just say in closing, thank you for your husband's service. All right, when America needs it most, guys like that step up to the plate, and that's what keeps this country great. All right, Barbie. Ooh, where'd Barbie go? I think Barbie dropped off. All right, guys, listen, let me pull over and take a pause. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We'll be back right after this. Hey, welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Just real quick, my friend Ron Dahlhouse, Buywise Auto Parts here in New Jersey, is checking in. He's listening to the show today, and he says, Ron, he said, you know, if you're looking for engines, he said, yeah, the engine shops are getting fewer and farther between, but Engine Land and Elizabeth and Machine Land, Machine Works, he says in his email here, are both excellent sources down that way. Engine Land and Machine World, both in Elizabeth from Ron. Always good information from Ron and the whole crew down there at Buywise Auto Parts. So thanks, Ron. I appreciate the input. Let's get over to Frank in Minnesota, 99 Chevy pickup, and a little bit of a no-crank condition. Frank, welcome to the Car Doctor, sir. How can I help?
Hi, Ron. 99 Chevy, 5.7 liter.
Right.
Coming up on 20 years. I'm going to own it in July.
Okay.
And Going to hit 200,000 miles here pretty quickly.
Just broken in, brother. Keep going.
There you go. So I left it. Okay, over the last, and this is a sometimes no start condition. Well, five times over the last month, go out in the morning and try and start it. Crank, 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 nothing. First thing I did was I pulled the air duct system off and squirted some starting fluid down the butterfly there. And I've also tried the gasoline itself and nothing, no fire at all. So I said, maybe I've got a spark issue. So I checked spark, got good spark from grounding off to the block, got a nice, good, strong spark, maybe an inch out. So I thought, well, maybe I initially thought I had a bad fuel pump, and I still think I do. But when I squirted starting fluid down, I thought, well, maybe I'd get at least a start for 1 or 2 seconds, but I end up getting nothing. Eventually, maybe that day or maybe the next day, it will start.
Okay.
And then if I drive it around, and you know, it will continue starting. So I said, well, both Thursday and Friday of this week, it did not start. And I said, next time it happens, I'm going to go check out a fuel pressure gauge tester from O'Reilly, which I did this morning, brought it home. And my reading says you got to have 50 PSI in order for the engine to start. And then running pressure is 60 to 66. And of course, I bring the gauge home
and
I hook it on to the Schrader and I turn the key to the on position. I get nothing. I say, well, I got a bad fuel pump. And
well, do you have a bad fuel pump or do you have a relay or a wiring issue? Right.
Anyway, I'll just finish up quickly here. So on off, you know, and then I say, well, I'll go to the start position. The thing starts up, but the gauge is reading zero. So, oh, I got a bad gauge. So I go get another gauge. I bring it home, and I had the gauge on the engine, and I showed O'Reilly, and they gave me a brand new one to check out. And so I bring it home, and I shut the engine down, and I go key on, and it jumps up to 58 PSI, but it goes down to zero within 5 seconds. So I said, well, maybe I've got a leaking fuel pressure regulator or an injector, or maybe the check valve in the fuel pump is just not working and everything's draining back into the tank.
Right.
So a couple times, key on, key off, key on, key off, and sometimes it will start that way. I got no black smoke coming out of the tailpipe, and I don't have a rough idle or anything like that. So I said, well, I kind of think now that it's not a regulator or injector. I'm back to the fuel pump. Your opinion, sir.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Sit tight. Let me pull over, take a pause. We'll come back and we'll talk about it. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We're back right after this. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We are back. Frank, you're still there. Let me finish this up for you. Frank, you there, babe?
Yeah, I am.
Okay.
One other bullet item. Running pressure on the gauge when the engine is running is 46 to 48.
Okay, so that's low. All right. We should see higher. So this is what this is the way I would approach this. All right. Just because you've got some intermittence, you've got some age, you've got some mileage here. All right. And what I'm going to suggest is my tried and true. I agree. It sounds like you've got a bad fuel pump. All right. It's not logical to me, though, why you're shooting starting fluid and it doesn't kick. All right. There's no rule that says that something that's older can't have more than one problem. Can't say it doesn't apply that to new vehicles either. So,
nope.
You know, let's attack fuel pressure first. One of the things I'd like to see you do, if you're up for it, is find the two leads going down to the fuel pump, the power and the ground. Put a 194 side marker bulb socket across it. Find a place to put it in the truck or stick it in the wheel well of the vehicle. All right, you know, encase it in tape just so the bulb shines out and nothing else, so it's got some moisture protection. And when the fuel pump's running, you'll see that light lit. You want to take the bulb out afterwards? Great. You know, when the truck goes into a no-start condition, put the bulb in it. If the bulb is lit and you've got zero fuel pressure, yeah, then you've got a bad fuel pump. All right, you've got something bad from that point in the harness down at the connection at the tank, etc. But chances are it's a bad pump. It works every time,
yep.
And it's just clear cut, and it's over with quickly. All right. Second thing, once we establish fuel pump, good or bad, wiring, good or bad, block the return line. see where the pressure goes. If the pressure goes up to 70 PSI or above, stays the same, etc., if the pressure jumps up, sounds like you've got a bad pressure regulator, because the regulator is in the intake. The pump is obviously in the back. If the pressure is still low, then it sounds like you've got a pump problem. But that'll help break it in half, get the two apart like that, and that'll make it work. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. Till the next time, good mechanics aren't expensive. They're priceless.